In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every year on February 22nd, the church celebrates the feast of the Chair of St. Peter. That ancient feast, up until the 1950s, was actually observed on two dates for the two sees, or dioceses, which St. Peter governed as bishop. February 22nd was observed as the feast of St. Peter's chair at Antioch, the first place he was bishop. In fact, the patriarch of the Maronite Church, one of the Eastern Catholic churches, is properly referred to as the successor of St. Peter, just like the Pope. But on January 18th, there was another feast celebrated, that of St. Peter's chair in Rome. Both of these feasts, but especially that of January 18th, were intended to emphasize not particularly St. Peter in himself or any particular pope, but the papacy as the institution of unity which Christ established for his church. A week later, on January 25th, today, we still celebrate another great feast, that of the conversion of St. Paul. Because these two feasts in honor of the two great pillars of the church fall exactly 1 week apart, it was common practice to refer to this week as a unit. And it was thought that because of the great missions that were celebrated in these feasts, unity in the chair of Peter and evangelization in St. Paul, this week became known informally as the Chair of Unity Octave, a week of particular prayer for the unity of Christians. Today, this week is more commonly known simply as the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. In our second reading today, St. Paul is reminding us that our common bond is baptism. In our baptism, we are made truly sons and daughters of God, and hence brothers and sisters to one another. This is true also of our separated brothers and sisters in Christ in various Protestant and Orthodox communities who've received true baptism. Our vocation to holiness lies in our baptism, and those separated Christians who have been truly baptized are united to us, to the church, in a real, though incomplete, way. At the same time, the incomplete nature of their communion with the church is not something to be ignored or diminished. The fact that there are real ways in which other Christians reject the one church of Christ has been made clear by the fact that for the past 500 years, most of them have referred to themselves as Protestants, that is, Protestants. What non-Catholic Christians protest about the Catholic Church would make for quite a long sermon. It would be sufficient to note the nature of the Church's unity. Christ intended his Church from the beginning to be one. We see this in his high priestly prayer offered to the Father the night before he died, when he prayed for his disciples that they all may be one, as you and I, Father, are one. The church is meant to be one with respect to three characteristics. First, the church is one in faith. That is, we Catholics profess unequivocally that all the Holy Catholic Church believes and teaches and proclaims to be revealed by God. Second, the church is one in sacraments. All Catholics accept and embrace and participate in the seven sacraments given by our Lord through the apostles. And finally, the church is one in governance. Our Lord established one church, not many, and gave that one church a form of government through the apostles and their successors, the bishops, and of course with St. Peter and his successor at its head. In order to be united to the church, one must be united to her in each of those three respects. And sadly, there remain many Christians throughout the world who continue to reject one or more of those aspects of the church's unity. But despite the appearance of disunity, the church herself remains always one. Whether or not individuals choose to participate in that unity is up to them. Because our Lord himself is one, his body, the church, can only and ever be one. And so the church never ceases to pray for the unity of Christians in faith, in the sacraments, and in governance. This can only happen when our separated brothers and sisters recognize in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church that perfect society established by our Lord for the salvation of every human person. But in the vast majority of cases, that recognition can only happen through us. St. Paul says to the Romans, "How are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent?" It's through each one of us, having been called in baptism and sent out in confirmation, that God desires to bring all into his one church, and especially those brothers and sisters of ours separated from her unity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.